Hey everyone, welcome to another deep dive. And today we're going to be exploring the power of mindset. And to help us unpack this fascinating topic, we're going to be taking a look at a blog post by Ruth Janessa Funk. She's written this like incredibly insightful article about the power of mindset. She actually dives deep into Carol Dweck's work, you know, the renowned psychologist who really brought this whole idea of growth mindset to the forefront. And Ruth Janessa kicks off her post by talking about her own like light bulb moment when she first discovered Dweck's masterclass and her books on mindset. It really resonated with her work as a business coach and advocate for, you know, this whole new work movement and sustainability. And honestly, it really struck a chord with me too. You know, we talk a lot about adapting and learning and creating positive change. So understanding mindset is just like so relevant, especially now. So let's dive right in, shall we? So first things first, what exactly is a growth mindset? Basically, it's the belief that your skills and intelligence, they're not fixed, they're not set in stone.
You can actually develop them through effort, through learning, through, you know, just putting in the work. It's that I can get better at this attitude, you know, that we could all use a little bit more of. And it's contrasted with this thing called a fixed mindset. And that's where people kind of believe that their abilities are like predetermined. It's this idea that, you know, you're either born good at something or you're not. And as Dweck's research has shown, this can be a major roadblock to, you know, reaching your full potential. But here's what I find really fascinating, like the science behind all of this. It's not just some, you know, feel-good philosophy. The blog post talks about neuroplasticity, which is like the brain's incredible ability to rewire itself throughout life. So basically, every time you know, make a mistake, every time you learn something new, you're literally creating new pathways in your brain. So those moments when you feel frustrated, you know, when you mess up, well, maybe it's just your brain flexing its muscles, getting ready to like tackle the next challenge. It's a pretty cool way to reframe those moments.
Right.
But let's not sugarcoat things. The blog also dives into the downsides of having a fixed mindset. And trust me, there are some serious pitfalls. Imagine just for a second that you're stuck in this fixed mindset. You truly believe that your abilities are set in stone. You know, there's no change in them. Well, why would you even bother pushing yourself, right? Why would you try something new? You're not going to risk looking foolish if you believe that failure is like a reflection of your inherent lack of ability, right? And the blog post brings up this like really eye-opening example from Dweck's research. And it's this idea that praising intelligence over effort can actually reinforce a fixed mindset. Think about it. If you're constantly told you're smart, you might start to fear failure because, you know, failing could challenge that label, that smart label. It makes you wonder, like, if sometimes even with the best intentions, we might accidentally be fostering a fixed mindset culture. And to kind of bring this to life, the blog post shares this really relatable scenario. Imagine a student who's struggling with a tough math problem, right?
With a fixed mindset, they're likely to just, like, throw in the towel, you know, feeling totally defeated. And they might think, well, see, I'm just not good at math. I'm not a math person. But with a growth mindset, that same student, they see it as a challenge to be conquered. They're not afraid to grapple with it, to, like, you know, try different approaches, to learn along the way. And it's a subtle shift, but it makes all the difference. And this doesn't just apply to, you know, school or academics. It's absolutely crucial in the workplace too. Think about, you know, those inevitable setbacks we all face at work, right? A failed project, a missed deadline, you know, things happen. With a fixed mindset, you might see it as a sign of incompetence, like, oh, I'm just not cut out for this. But a growth mindset, it encourages you to analyze what went wrong, to extract the lessons and then come back even stronger. Those setbacks, they become stepping stones to innovation. Now, this reminds me of a story from Carol Dweck's masterclass that Ruth Janessa highlights in her blog post. It's about Steve Young, the legendary NFL quarterback. And apparently he faced like a ton of obstacles early in his career. I mean, it would have been so easy to give up, right? But Young, he had this incredible growth mindset. He saw every challenge as a chance to improve, to learn, to get better. And he didn't let those setbacks define him. And ultimately, he achieved some incredible things, you know, Super Bowl champion, Hall of Famer, the whole nine yards. And his story is a really powerful reminder that like resilience, perseverance, you know, those qualities that are so essential in today's world, well, they're nurtured by a growth mindset. It's about embracing those challenges and using them as fuel to become, you know, a stronger, more capable version of yourself. And speaking of today's world, let's talk about how this all connects to this whole new work thing. We're in this era of like rapid change and digital transformation, right? Yeah. Flexibility, adaptability, constantly learning new things. It's almost like a growth mindset is a prerequisite for like thriving in this new landscape. And what's interesting is that this concept of continuous learning is something that Satya Nadella the CEO of Microsoft, really emphasizes.
In the masterclass, he talks about how lifelong learning is essential for success in today's world. And that's like a growth mindset in action, wouldn't you say? It's not about having all the answers right now. It's about being open to learning and growing along the way. And that's a philosophy that seems to be deeply embedded in Microsoft's culture. Now, the blog post shares this this anecdote that I think we can all relate to. It's about a team that was resisting, like, new collaboration software. You know that feeling, right? Change can be tough. But here's the thing. Instead of, like, dwelling on the potential difficulties, the team was encouraged to see this new software as an opportunity, a chance to learn new skills, to streamline their workflows, maybe even discover some better ways of working together. And guess what? That shift in perspective actually worked. The team started to embrace the software, they mastered it, and they even found those more efficient ways of collaborating. It's a powerful reminder that sometimes all it takes is a change in perspective to unlock new possibilities.
It's like those optical illusions, you know, where you see one thing and then suddenly, bam, you see something completely different. Okay, let's be real for a second. There's one aspect of work life that even those of us with a growth mindset tend to dread. And that's feedback. It can be tough to swallow, even when it's well-intentioned, right? But here's where the growth mindset comes in clutch. It helps us reframe feedback as a gift, a valuable tool for growth rather than a personal attack. And Ruth Chinesa, she even shares her own journey with feedback. She admits to initially feeling vulnerable, which I think is so relatable. But ultimately, she realized how much it helped her grow, both personally and professionally. And her honesty just makes it so much more relatable, don't you think? It's not about becoming immune to constructive criticism. It's about recognizing its power to help us become better versions of ourselves. And in this new work era, where collaboration and adaptability are so vital, feedback becomes even more important, would you say? It's about getting those insights, iterating, and constantly improving. And the blog post highlights this fantastic tip from Druck's masterclass on how leaders can give feedback in a way that fosters a growth mindset. Instead of saying something like, this isn't good enough, try framing it as a collaborative opportunity. Like, how can we work together to take this to the next level?
Mm.
You know, it's about creating a partnership, a shared responsibility for improvement. But let's be honest, words are just one part of the equation, right? Building trust and transparency is key for feedback to truly be effective. And what's fascinating is that Dweck's masterclass delves into this as well. It goes beyond just the information exchange. It's about establishing that foundation of trust. It's about creating an environment where people feel safe to share their perspectives, to receive constructive criticism without fearing judgment or blame. And the masterclass actually offers some really practical tips for achieving this. For instance, instead of jumping in with solutions, leaders are encouraged to ask those open-ended questions that really get people thinking. Like, what do you think could be improved here?
You know, it's about empowering them to come up with their own solutions. It's that whole help me to do it myself approach, like the Montessori method. And another great tip is about responsive listening. It's not just about hearing. It's about truly understanding. So rephrase what you've heard, repeat it back, make sure everyone's on the same page. It shows that you value their perspective and that feedback is a two-way street, not a lecture. And here's a big one. Removing blame from the equation. We all make mistakes, right? But instead of pointing fingers, the masterclass suggests bringing in this, like, imaginary third party. Like, okay, if an outsider was looking at this situation, what would they suggest? It helps take the pressure off the individual and creates that safe space for problem solving. And lastly, transparency is everything. Leaders need to be upfront about their intentions behind the feedback. How does it align with the team's goals? Why are they sharing it? A simple statement like, I'm saying this because I believe in your potential and I want to see you succeed, can make all the difference. It's about shifting the entire conversation from criticism to collaboration. Feedback becomes a tool for collective growth, not a weapon for individual attack.
Mm-hmm.
Now, let's move on to something else that often gets a bad rap, especially in the workplace. Stress. It's something we all experience, but the blog post challenges us to, like, reframe it. What if, instead of seeing stress as this overwhelming negative force, we saw it as a potential engine for growth?
It's definitely a thought-provoking concept, right?
Uh-huh.
All right, so picking up where we left off, you know, one thing that really hit home for me was how Ruth Chinesa connects all of this to, like, the ever-changing landscape of the modern workplace. It's not just about personal growth anymore. It's about navigating all the, like, complexities of this whole new work era.
Yeah.
You know, with all that focus on flexibility and digital transformation and this, like, constant need to keep learning and adapting, it's like the old rules just, boof, disappeared. And in this whole, like, new world of work, one theme just keeps, like, popping up over and over again, and that's the importance of trust and transparency. especially when it comes to feedback. Because think about it, in a work environment that's becoming so much more collaborative and decentralized, well, trust is just like absolutely essential. It's a foundation for everything. Open communication, effective teamwork, you know it. And without that solid foundation of trust, feedback can easily turn into like a weapon instead of a tool, right? It can feel like criticism or judgment. And that just leads to like defensiveness and resistance, which is the opposite of what we're trying to create with this whole growth mindset thing, right?
Yeah.
And that's where Dweck's masterclass comes in with some really, really valuable advice on like building that trust and transparency. And the blog post pulls out some of these like golden nuggets, and I definitely wanted to highlight a few of them. One of the biggest takeaways for me was this emphasis on asking instead of telling. It's about ditching that like old school boss dictates style of leadership and going for more, you know, let's figure this out together approach. So instead of just like handing down solutions, leaders with a growth mindset, they ask these open-ended questions that get people thinking for themselves.
It's about empowering people to find their own solutions, not just blindly following orders, right? And this ties back so perfectly to that mentor mindset we were talking about earlier. It's about guiding people towards their own discoveries, not just spoon-feeding them the answers. It's about fostering a sense of ownership and autonomy, which, let's be honest, we all know is just crucial for motivation and engagement. Another really great tip from the masterclass was about responsive listening. And this is about like more than just hearing what someone is saying. It's about truly understanding their perspective. It's about reflecting back their thoughts and feelings, asking clarifying questions, and making sure everyone's like on the same page. It's a simple act, but it can have a huge impact on, you know, building rapport and strengthening those relationships. It's like saying, hey, I value your opinion. I'm really listening to what you have to say.
Mm.
And when people feel heard and understood, well, that creates the safe space for like honest and open communication.
The blog post also emphasizes something that can be really tough to do, but is so important, and that's removing blame from the equation when giving feedback. It's about creating that psychologically safe environment where people feel comfortable taking risks and, you know, learning from their mistakes. So instead of playing the blame game, the focus should be on like understanding what went wrong and how to improve moving forward. It's about shifting from a culture of blame to a culture of learning. And Dweck's masterclass, it actually offers this like a brilliant strategy for achieving this. It's about introducing a third imaginary perspective to analyze the issue objectively. So you can kind of like take a step back from the emotional dynamics of the situation and view it from a more neutral standpoint. So instead of getting all caught up in who messed up, you can ask, okay, if an outsider was looking at this situation, what would they suggest? It helps depersonalize the feedback and encourages a more like collaborative and solution-oriented approach. And then, of course, there's transparency. It's absolute paramount when it comes to building trust and ensuring that feedback is well received.
Leaders need to be upfront about their intentions. Why are they giving this feedback? How does it align with the team's goals? It's about being authentic, being genuine, and demonstrating that the feedback is coming from a place of like care and a desire to help the individual grow and succeed. And, you know, this whole conversation about trust and feedback leads us to another fascinating aspect of the growth mindset that Ruth Genesee explores at her post, and that's reframing stress. Ugh, stress, right? I think we can all relate to this. In today's, like, fast-paced world, stress can feel like this constant companion. But what if, instead of seeing stress as the enemy, we viewed it as a potential catalyst for growth? That's the challenge the blog post throws down, and it's definitely a perspective shift worth exploring. And it all starts with like changing how we understand stress. Instead of labeling it as this like inherently negative thing, we can choose to see it as a sign that we're pushing ourselves, you know, stepping outside of our comfort zones, expanding our capabilities. It's kind of like that feeling you get when you're learning a new skill.
Like playing an instrument or, I don't know, coding or something. It can be frustrating for sure. But it's also exhilarating, right? Because you know you're growing, you're expanding your horizons. And the blog post actually offers this like practical three-step approach to reframing stress and turning it into, get this, fuel for performance. I love when we can take these like big ideas and break them down into actionable steps. So step one is all about reframing those stressful situations as opportunities for growth. It's about asking yourself, okay, what can I learn from this challenge? How will this experience make me stronger, better equipped for the future? So instead of getting bogged down in the negative, we shift our focus to the potential for learning and development. And Ruth Genesee makes it even more relatable by sharing her own experience, which I love. She talks about how as an entrepreneur, she learned to manage stress through like meditation and better time management. It's not just some abstract concept, you know. It's something she's actually lived and applied in her own life. Super inspiring.
Okay, ready for step two? This one is about reframing our stress response.
We all know that feeling, right? Heart racing, palm sweating, mind racing when we're under pressure. But instead of fighting those physical and emotional responses, what if we try to channel that energy into focus and determination? Think about athletes before a big game. They're nervous, their adrenaline is pumping, but they've learned to harness that energy to improve their performance. So why can't we do the same thing in our everyday lives, right? I don't know about you, but I tend to get flustered under pressure. But this idea of taking that energy and using it as fuel for action, definitely something I want to try. And finally, step three is all about making sure we have the right resources to handle stress effectively. So this might involve reaching out to colleagues for support, using tools and technology to streamline our workflows, or even just taking a break to prioritize and delegate tasks. It's about recognizing our limits and proactively seeking out solutions that work for us. It's like having a toolkit for stress management, right? We all have different tools that work best for us, whether it's exercise, meditation, talking to a friend, or just taking some time for ourselves.
And, you know, this really ties back to that collaborative spirit of the new work era. We're not in this alone. We can lean on each other for support, share strategies, and create a more supportive and hopefully less stressful work environment. So by taking these steps, stress can become something we can manage, even leverage. It becomes a challenge that pushes us to adapt, to innovate, and ultimately to thrive in unexpected ways.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I want to shift gears now and talk about something that was a real aha moment for me in the blog post, and that's leadership mindsets. Dweck's masterclass dives deep into this topic, and it's full of really insightful nuggets. I honestly feel like we could do a whole deep dive just on this. So the masterclass breaks down leadership into three main mindsets: the mentor, the enforcer, and the protector. And each one contributes to something bigger than just individual success. They shape how leaders support and inspire those around them, and they create this ripple effect of growth and positivity. So let's start with the mentor mindset. What does it actually mean to be a leader who embodies this mindset?
Well, at its core, it's about empowering others to find their own solutions. It's about guiding and supporting individuals to reach their full potential, not dictating every move or, spoon-feeding them the answers. It's about creating a space where people can learn, experiment, and grow. And the blog post, it reminds us of this brilliant principle that perfectly captures this whole mentor mindset. Help me to do it myself. That Montessori approach, right? So instead of jumping in and solving problems for their team members, leaders with a mentor mindset, they guide them with questions, encourage them to think critically and come up with their own solutions. It's about saying, I believe in your ability to figure this out, and I'm here to support you along the way. It's about fostering that sense of ownership and autonomy, which is, again, so crucial for motivation, engagement, and long-term growth. Now, I know what you might be thinking. What about accountability? What about setting high standards? Well, that's where the enforcer mindset comes in. And I know the word enforcer can sound a little intimidating, maybe. But it's not about being a dictator or, micromanaging every little detail. The enforcer mindset is about setting clear expectations, holding people accountable, and making sure everyone is working towards that common goal. But it's done with care. It's done with transparency. And it always keeps that focus on growth in mind. So think about it. If a team member misses a deadline, a leader with an enforcer mindset wouldn't just come down on them, right? Instead, they would create a space for open and honest communication. They would discuss what happened, explore the root causes, and work together to find solutions. It's about framing the conversation around shared goals and asking questions okay, how can we adjust our process to prevent this from happening again? It's about turning those mistakes into learning opportunities and fostering a sense of accountability and continuous improvement. And then finally, we have the protector mindset. And this one is all about creating a psychologically safe environment where people feel comfortable taking risks, experimenting, and, learning from those inevitable mistakes.
Which is just so crucial for fostering creativity, innovation, and that whole let's try new things attitude, right? Which is essential in today's rapidly changing world. A leader with a protector mindset understands that mistakes are just part of the learning process. And they encourage their team members to view those setbacks as valuable lessons, not personal failings. They might even share their own experiences of failure, which is so powerful, to kind of normalize the idea that we all make mistakes, and that's okay. It's about creating a culture where it's safe to try new things, to speak up, to challenge the status quo, and to know that you won't be punished for, making a mistake. It's about fostering that sense of trust and psychological safety that allows people to truly shine. And again, transparency is key here too.
Leaders with a protector mindset, they clearly explain their intentions behind decisions, they connect those actions to the broader purpose of the team's work, and they make sure everyone feels like they're part of something bigger than themselves. Now, here's what's really cool. All of these leadership mindsets actually tie back to this larger concept called servant leadership. Have you heard of that? Servant leadership is this philosophy that prioritizes the well-being and development of others. It's about leading with care and intention, focusing on empowering individuals and contributing to a greater good. It's a very human-centered approach, wouldn't you say? It's about valuing people, valuing relationships above all else. And the blog post shares this incredibly powerful quote from Bill Walsh, the legendary NFL coach, that really sums up this whole philosophy perfectly. He said, "The score takes care of itself." Isn't that profound? What do you think he meant by that? Well, to me, it means that when we focus on leading with care, on empowering others, and creating a positive and supportive environment, well, success naturally follows. It's not about obsessing over metrics or chasing those like short-term wins. It's about building something meaningful and sustainable, something that benefits everyone involved. And you know what? This ties back so beautifully to the principles of a growth mindset. It's about shifting our focus from individual achievement to collective growth, from competition to collaboration, from fear of failure to a love of learning. And to bring it all back to like practical application, the blog post wraps up with some actionable takeaways that we can all implement in our workplaces. So here are a few of the highlights. Reframe challenges as opportunities for growth. Practice feedback with intention and transparency. Normalize stress as a catalyst for development. Adopt a mentor mindset to empower your team. Cultivate psychological safety to encourage innovation. And lastly, focus on contributing to something bigger than yourself. It's really amazing how this like simple shift in mindset can have such a profound impact on our approach to work, leadership, and life in general. But we're not done yet. Stay tuned for the final part of our deep dive where we'll explore how these principles can be applied not just to our work, but to our personal lives and relationships too. So don't go anywhere. All right, welcome back for the final part of our deep dive into Ruth Janessa Funk's blog post on the power of mindset.
We've covered so much ground already, from the science behind it all to those practical leadership mindsets. And in this last part, I really want to focus on how we can take all of this and apply it not just to our work, but to our personal lives and relationships too. Because let's be real, a growth mindset isn't just for the office, it's for life, right? And one thing that really struck me was how Ruth Janessa emphasizes this idea of focusing on contribution. It's so easy to get caught up in our own little bubbles, you know, our own tasks and goals, but she really encourages us to like zoom out and think about the bigger picture. How can we connect our efforts to a larger purpose? How can we recognize that our work, no matter what it is, has the potential to like make a positive impact, whether we're leading a team, creating product, or just, you know, showing up with a helpful attitude? Those actions can ripple outwards and create real change. And honestly, that sense of purpose can be so motivating, right? It gives our work meaning and significance beyond just checking things off a to-do list. It's about feeling like we're part of something bigger than ourselves, something that truly matters. And it all ties back to this idea of servant leadership, which we touched on earlier. It's about leading with a focus on serving others, empowering them to grow and reach their full potential. Not about power or control, but about supporting and uplifting those around us. And when we lead with that mindset, we create this ripple effect of positivity and growth that goes way beyond just our immediate circle. So how do we actually cultivate a growth mindset in all areas of our lives? Well, the blog post wraps up with some really practical takeaways that I think are worth repeating. First and foremost, remember to reframe challenges as opportunities for growth. Instead of seeing those obstacles as setbacks, try to view them as chances to learn and develop new skills. Next, practice feedback with intention and transparency, both giving and receiving it. Seek out feedback, even when it's tough to hear, and be open to different perspectives. And don't forget to normalize stress. Instead of letting it overwhelm us, we can choose to reframe it as a sign that we're stretching ourselves and stepping outside of our comfort zones. Now, remember those leadership mindsets we talked about, the mentor, the enforcer, and the protector. Those apply to all areas of our lives, not just the workplace. So adopt that mentor mindset in your interactions with others. Be willing to guide and support them, share your knowledge and experience, and empower them to find their own solutions. And finally, cultivate psychological safety in your relationships. Create a space where people feel comfortable taking risks, sharing their ideas, and learning from their mistakes without fear of judgment. It's amazing how this one concept, the shift in perspective, can have such a transformative impact on our lives, both personally and professionally. And it's a testament to the power of our beliefs.
You know, our mindset is like the lens through which we see the world, and it can either limit us or empower us to achieve incredible things. So keep challenging yourself, keep seeking feedback, and never stop believing in your potential to grow and learn and achieve great things. It's been an incredible journey exploring these ideas together, and I want to give a huge thanks to Ruth Janessa Funk for sharing her wisdom and inspiring us to embrace the power of mindset. And to all of you listening, thank you so much for joining me on this deep dive. I hope you found it informative, inspiring, and maybe even a little bit life-changing. Until next time, keep diving deep and keep growing.